भोक्ताराम यज्ञ तपसाम सर्वलोक महेश्वरम सुहृदं सर्वभूतानां ज्ञात्वा मां शान्तिमृच्छति मातजीस भोक्ताराम यज्ञ तपसाम सर्वलोक महेश्वरम सुहृदं सर्वभूतानां ज्ञात्वा मां शान्तिमृच्छति मातजीस भोक्ताराम यज्ञ तपसाम सर्वलोक महेश्वरम सुहृदं सर्वभूतानां ज्ञात्वा मां शान्तिमृच्छति वर्ड मीनिंग्स भोक्तारम द बेनिफिशियरी यज्ञ ऑफ सैक्रिफाइसेस तपसाम एंड पेनांसिस एंड ऑस्टेरिटीज सर्वलोक ऑफ ऑल प्लैनेट्स एंड द डेमी गॉड्स देयर ऑफ महाईश्वरम द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड सुहृदम द बेनिफैक्टर सर्व ऑफ ऑल भूतानाम द लिविंग एंटिटीज ज्ञात्वा दस नोइंग माम मी लॉर्ड कृष्णा शांतिम रिलीफ फ्रॉम मटेरियल पैंग्स रिच्छति वन अचीव्स ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्ट पर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद ट्रांसलेशन अ पर्सन फुल कॉन्शियसनेस ऑफ मी knowing me to be the ultimate beneficiary of all sacrifices and austerities, the supreme lord of all planets and demigods, and the benefactor and well-wisher of all living entities, attains peace from the pangs of material miseries. Purport: the conditioned souls within the clutches of the illusory energy are all anxious to attain peace in the material world, but they do not know the formula for peace, which is explained in this part of the Bhagavad Gita. The greatest peace formula is simply this: Lord Krishna is the beneficiary in all human activities. Men should offer everything to the transcendental service of the Lord because He is the proprietor of all planets and the demigods thereon. No one is greater than He. He is greater than the greatest of the demigods, Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma. In the Vedas, the Supreme Lord is described as Tam Ishwaranam Paramam Maheshwaram. Under the spell of illusion, living entities are trying to be lords of all they survey, but actually they are dominated by the material energy of the Lord. The Lord is the master of material nature, and the conditioned souls are under the stringent rules of material nature. Unless one understands these bare facts, it is not possible to achieve peace in the world, either individually or collectively. This is the sense of Krishna consciousness. Lord Krishna, the supreme denominator, and all living entities, including the great demigods, are his subordinates. One can attain perfect peace only in complete Krishna consciousness. This fifth chapter is a practical explanation of Krishna consciousness, generally known as Karma Yoga. The question of mental speculation as to how Karma Yoga can give liberation is answered herewith. To work in Krishna consciousness is to work with the complete knowledge of the Lord as a predominator. Such work is not different from transcendental knowledge. Direct Krishna consciousness is Bhakti Yoga, and Jnana Yoga is a path leading to Bhakti Yoga. Krishna consciousness means to work in full knowledge of one's relationship with the Supreme Absolute, and the perfection of this consciousness is full knowledge of Krishna or the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A pure soul is eternal servant of God as his fragmental part and parcel. He comes into contact with Maya due to the desire to lord it over Maya, and there is a cause of his many sufferings. As long as he is in contact with matter, he has to execute work in terms of material necessities. Krishna consciousness, however, brings one into spiritual life even while one is within the jurisdiction of matter, for it is an arousing of a spiritual existence by practice in the material world. The more one is advanced, the more he is freed from the clutches of matter. The Lord is not partial toward anyone. Everything depends on one's practical performance of duties in Krishna consciousness, which helps one control the senses in every respect and conquer the influence of desire and anger. And one who stands fast in Krishna consciousness, controlling the above mentioned passions, remains factually in the transcendental stage or Brahma Nirvana. The Eightfold Yoga mysticism is automatically practiced in Krishna consciousness because the ultimate purpose is served. There is a gradual process of elevation in the practice of Yam, Niyam, Asan, Pranayam, Pratyahara, Dharana, Dhyana and Samadhi, but these only preface perfection by devotional service, which alone can award peace to the human being. It is the highest perfection of life. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahayam Dadati Sapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Uttapadakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavam Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatha Nitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhavitamsya He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpati Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostati Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Suta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Panchakalpatarubhascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namo Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Few thoughts I would like to share with the devotees here. First question is that what is the reason for lack of peace? As you all know that Bhukti Mukti Siddhi Kami Sakale Ashant Krishna Bhakta Nishkam Ateva Shant. Very simple. Material desires. I was discussing this point with His Grace Vrindavan Chandra Prabhu that Prabhu, I have still not understood how by understanding these three things that Krishna is the proprietor, Krishna is the controller and Krishna is the only friend of all living entities, a person attains peace. So instead of directly answering this question, he says you go in the reverse direction. Why a person has no peace? And the reason is that he has material desires. And by knowing these three things, as Lord Krishna is telling in this shloka, person can be very easily free of material desires. How? How we express our material desires? First, as a predominator of this material world. I'm the controller of this world. Then, why I want to control? Because I'm an enjoyer of this world, enjoyer of the activities. And then a different kind of Ishwar Bhav is there in which I think I am the friend of all living entities. I can do good to people. Sometimes people ask that why we have to be Krishna conscious? Is it not sufficient just to be a good person? So they don't understand that they want to be good separate from Krishna. They want to be an independent God who is a friend of other living entities. So this is how material desires manifest. Trying to be a predominator, trying to be a controller, and trying to be a separate best friend of other living entities, separate from Krishna. Yes. I have mentioned this point. Third point is the desire to lord over material nature manifest as first, a sense of enjoying the fruits of our action is very deep-rooted in our consciousness. If I am cooking something, I am cooking for myself. If I am working, then the salary which I am getting is for my own enjoyment. So in such different ways, everybody is trying to enjoy the fruits of his action. And this only leads to selfishness and misery. How it leads to misery is very interesting. This conception of predomination is based on a wrong identification of the self. Because we identify ourselves with the body and the mind, that's why something which satisfies the body and mind, I think it is going to satisfy me. Again, a person is not realizing that he is part and parcel of Krishna, and only by serving Krishna and pleasing Krishna can he be happy. So it is something like very interesting example many times has been given in the Shastra about dreams. Suppose we have a heavy meal in the night and don't drink water. So during night we become thirsty. And we see a dream that we are thirsty and we are drinking lots of water in the mind. But we also experience that we are not getting satisfied. So you see very interestingly, what happens in the dream is, I first identify with the subtle body which I see in the dream. And then I identify with the satisfaction of the subtle body which I see in the dream. And I do satisfy the subtle body in my dream, but actually I am not satisfied. Similarly, when I wake up, I identify with this body and the mind also. And then, trying to satisfy the body and the mind, I will always feel unsatisfied, just like I will be unsatisfied, I will remain thirsty if I simply try to satisfy my thirst in the dream. The example of dream is several times given in the Shastra. Very interesting. So, this is first section. That means how by trying to enjoy the fruits of my action, I will be unsatisfied. Second is the sense of proprietorship. We have a sense of things belonging to us. Now, how it leads to frustration? We think that this body belongs to us. We think our mobiles and anything which is supposed to be in our possession belongs to us. Now, interesting thing is, kalosmi lok shayakrit pravriddho. Krishna, acting as time, his only engagement is to destroy everything in this world. Suppose I think I possess this body. We see that the body doesn't remain the way I want it to remain. If I am young and beautiful, I won't remain young and beautiful all my life. If I am healthy, I will not remain healthy. I mean to say my body is healthy. It will not remain healthy all my life. So this sense of proprietorship, or this thing belongs to me, and I am seeing it that this thing is getting lost to me, frustrates me. I can't do anything about it. You understand my point? So if I understand, okay, this has been given to me by Lord for certain purpose and it will be taken away by the Lord after due course of time, so I won't be attached to it and I will be peacefully serving Krishna. This is a very subtle point to be understood. It is interesting that when we take birth, we don't have anything. And when we die, we don't take anything. But in the middle, we are claiming, this thing belongs to me, I have acquired this much, and I have lost this much. You must have heard that if wealth is lost, nothing is lost. Then if wealth is gained, then also nothing is gained. We never think like this. We think when wealth is gained, everything is gained, and if wealth is lost, everything is lost. And that's all because of false identification. Srila Prabhupada in one of the purport explains that just like we experience a dream through the mind, similarly this life, this so-called real life, is also experienced through the mind. It is not at all different from the dream which we experience in the mind. Just like we sleep for, let's say, 6 hours or let's say 8 hours. Now if you club them all together, that means 25% of the time we have slept, we sleep. So if I have lived for 80 years, it means 20 years I have slept. And for 20 years I have not lived a life which I am thinking as real. Are you able to understand what I am trying to say? I think that this life is real. But if I sleep for 8 hours, I forget about this life. Or 6 hours, let's say. So it's very interesting that we are actually living in a dreaming situation, whether we are sleeping or awake. Both situations. If we are not identifying with a real self as being a servant of Krishna. Another subtle point in this is because we are eternal, so we impose that property of eternality on anything which we have. It's like we never think that we will get old, or we always think anything which we possess will remain as it is because we are eternal. And because we are eternal, we impose that quality on material objects which they don't have. They are constantly changing. So that's also a very incompatible situation, and we become frustrated. Now that's third point is sense of being a friend to all. There are many problems in it. One is people may not appreciate our friendliness. We try to be good to people, but they just can't appreciate. Even you cannot say that they are ungrateful, they just can't appreciate. You tell people to chant Hare Krishna and then say, we will not chant Hare Krishna. Now they don't understand what value is there in chanting Hare Krishna. So still, if a person tries to be a friend to a person, he may not reciprocate. That is one problem. Now, okay, I am selfless. I do not expect anything from anybody. Another problem is, I don't know what it means to be a true friend. Suppose somebody is suffering from some disease in which, as they say, in jaundice, we are not supposed to take fried items. And in trying to be a good friend, I give a person fried items, I am becoming his enemy. So one must know what it becomes, what it takes to be a good friend or a well-wishing friend for everybody. And last of all, even if I may have good intentions, I may know what is good for a person, I may not always be able to do good to them because of my own capacity. Just like sometimes in the ashram, our devotees tell us, Prabhuji, we have a headache. I said, what can I do? I'm not a doctor. You go and see the doctor. I may feel bad for you, but I cannot do anything. One of our devotees made an accident. So now he has all these bruises all over his body. I can sympathize with him, but I can't help him. I can't help him to get the disease or bruises cured. It will only cure by the mercy of Krishna. So it's very interesting that we have good feelings, we have good intentions, we have compassion for the living entities, but we must have this understanding that unless he takes shelter of Krishna, he cannot help. He cannot be helped, and I cannot help him. My help is only to inspire him to take shelter of the Lord. Very simple. Who can save us from death? Nobody can save us from death except Krishna. So our helping of others should be, how can I help them become more surrendered to Krishna's will? That is our help. We don't try to help independently. We can give food and all those things, but we must understand we are never independent helpers. Even when we are giving foods, we are not producing the food from our own body, that is has been given to us by Krishna. So it's a very important point to be understood so that we don't get frustrated. Srila Prabhupada talks about Karma Yoga, and we will also talk something about it. One very interesting example is of a cashier. You go to a cashier, he counts, okay, 1 crore rupees have come and 0.5 crore has gone to people distributing the Lakshmi. But he doesn't count a cent for himself. That's all right. But he doesn't also feel that he has lost the money or he has gained the money. When he has entered the bank, he has no money on that particular day. And when he leaves the bank, he has no money. But he has counted so much Lakshmi for the bank. It's something very interesting. But because he understands this Lakshmi doesn't belong to me, I'm only acting on the behalf of the bank, he's unattached. He is not miserable. Just imagine a businessman, if he gets 1 crore rupees, how much will be happy? And if he loses 0.5 crore rupees, how much he will be sad? Because there is a sense of belongingness. But the cashier doesn't feel like this. So point to be understood. It's very interesting. In the first canto, 5th chapter, Narad Muni gives so many instructions. I would like to repeat them. This verse 1.5.35. Yadatra kriyate karma bhagavat paritoshanam jnanam yattat adhinam hi bhakti yoga samanvitam. Prabhupada says, whatever work is done here in this life, atra, here in this life, for the satisfaction of the mission of the Lord is called bhakti yoga, or transcendental loving service to the Lord, and what is called knowledge becomes a con competent factor. Why I'm discussing this shloka is that knowledge depends on work. Work which is done as an offering to Krishna is something very, very significant. Here is mentioned that when a person offers the fruits of his work to Krishna, slowly, gradually he becomes purified and he comes to an understanding, a realization in his heart that I'm a servant of the Lord. And that's why Srila Prabhupada has given us so many varieties of services. In the beginning, when we engage in the service, we may just be engaged on the instruction of the temple authorities or the spiritual master. But simply by being engaged in these activities, because those activities are for the pleasure of Lord, we become purified. It is very interesting. Now somebody may ask a question. In the beginning, a person is not conscious that he is doing it for the pleasure of Lord. So how will he get purified? That's why working under authority of a pure devotee is recommended. Or not even recommended, it is imperative, it is a must. A pure devotee like Srila Prabhupada, he wants to preach the message of the Lord all over the world. Now I don't know how much benefit a person will get by chanting Hare Krishna. But because he understands that, he wants that, and if I assist him in that way, so I'll get purified. And then I'll also have this realization that yes, that the goal of life is to spread the chanting of Hare Krishna or devotional service to the Supreme Lord. Sve sve karmanya bhirata samsiddhim labate naraha. Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, you remain engaged in your activities, in your own activities, but the fruit should be offered to Krishna, and that will lead to knowledge in the heart that I am a servant of Krishna. This is very interesting. Example, one great philosopher, I believe it was Madan Mohan Malviya, who came to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and he said that I want to ask one question. Then he said that, why don't you go and wash the pots of the Lord, and then you come and ask me the questions. Have you heard this before? So he washed the pots, and as he was washing, after washing the pots, he came back to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur and said, okay, what is your question? He said, my questions have been answered. Mysteriously. Then another example is of a gardener, a devotee, of a disciple of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He was tested for half an hour on the philosophy of Krishna consciousness by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Just imagine that. For half an hour he was tested, and he gave all correct answers. Now he was not even a scholar, but he was hearing, first of all, he was hearing the discourses of the devotees and very lovingly engaging in the service of the Lord. And there Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur made a comment, Sevon mukhe hi jivadav svameva spirit adha. When a person engages in the service of the Lord, everything becomes manifest in his own heart. So along with the chanting of Hare Krishna, along with the hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam, there has to be also a mood of service. And it is not just service, but the mood of service. Can you appreciate the difference? Just like I make sweep this floor as a in the mood of grudgingness. Grudgingly I may do that. That will lead to purification. But if I do with a sense of doing it very nicely for the pleasure of Guru and Krishna, then it is called the mood of service. That is called the Sevan Mukta. That is actually called Seva, where there is an intention to please the object of my service. As one devotee puts it very nicely, the object of my service is to please the object of my service. You understand? The goal of my service is to please the person whom I am serving, or whatever action I am doing there. It's very nice, and this is called service. Whether we are chanting Hare Krishna, whether we are cooking, whether anything we are doing. And in this way, transcendental knowledge becomes manifest in the heart. And a similar shloka which is there in Bhagavatam, the same chapter, Narad Muni says, Etat sansujitam brahman stapatraya chikisitam yadishvare bhagavati karma brahmani bhavitam. O Brahmana Vyasadev, it is decided by the learned that the best remedial measure for removing all troubles and miseries is to dedicate one's activities to the service of the Supreme Lord Personality of Godhead. This is very interesting. That if we want to be free from miseries, we have to act for the Lord. Now, sometimes you may feel, oh, why are temple authorities are giving me so much service? But actually, when they are giving us service, they are helping us to become free from the miseries of this world. It's very interesting, as you all know, that we are all constitutionally servants. Dharma, you must know the definition of dharma. Sanatana Dharma explains that all living entities are serving at all time, in all place and circumstances. Now, if I don't serve Krishna, I'll serve Maya. And I'll serve Maya, I'll be miserable. So if we are engaged in Krishna's service, that's the only way to be happy in this world. There is no other way. So if we have more service, then it is better. But we must understand, service doesn't simply mean acting by hands and legs. It's the Karmendriya which should be engaged, and also the Gyanendriya has to be engaged. Srila Prabhupada explains beautifully in first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam that a disciple gets full mercy when he engages in the service of the spiritual master without reservation, both by the Gyanendriyas and by the Karmendriyas. It's not that whole day I'll sit and read Srimad Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam, and then when it's said, okay, please, can you, Prabhuji, can you serve devotees? Oh, no, that is not service. So that is not, that will not fully purify us. So both, everything has to be engaged, our body, our mind and words. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that when you serve the name by your body, mind and words, the named will reveal to you. How can we serve the name with our body? Well, one is obviously we chant Hare Krishna, but using our body to do all those activities which will help to spread the glories of the holy name. That is something to be thought about. I may go for preaching, I may speak Bhagavad Gita, I may give them prasadam, so that may be inspired to chant Hare Krishna. So one is, one service to the holy name is to chant Hare Krishna offenselessly. And another service is to spread the glories of the holy name to common people. So both have to be done, and in this way the Lord will reveal His glories in their heart. And as you know all this example, it's very difficult to talk before devotees because they know all the examples beforehand. Nothing is new, but for our purification and our remembrance, I'm saying this. That's just like when we have stomach disorder due to too much milk, we take some curd rice by which the stomach disorder is cured. Similarly, the activities which bind us to the material world, same activities when they are done for Krishna, they liberate us from this world. Yes, and that's why a person is not encouraged, especially in the beginning, to simply sit down and meditate on the Lord. That is not the process of Bhakti Yoga. And you can see this in Dhyana Yoga, in although the chapter is Dhyana Yoga, the first opening thing, which shloka which Lord Krishna says in the 6th chapter is, the person should act without being attached to the fruits of the results. Not just simply sitting in one place. That is not sufficient. Okay. And in this way, within the mind of a devotee, a sense of relationship with the Lord is aroused. That I am a servant of Krishna, I must engage in His service. Now, practical application, which is very difficult, is that Srila Prabhupada explains this in 1.5.36. As Lord Krishna is saying, He is Maheshwaram, He is the proprietor of everything. Now, it is not sufficient to say this. Prabhupada says that not less than 50%. It is interesting. Sometimes I was preaching that up to 50%. But Prabhupada says not less than 50% of somebody's income should be engaged in propagating the glories of the Lord. If I really say that things don't belong to me, it belongs to Krishna, then it should be used for Krishna's service. Now, how it will happen? One devotee came and asked me, one of the students, he said, how is it happening? He said, simply we have to reduce our necessities. And then easily we can dedicate 50% of our income for Krishna's service. Now, last 3 points. How to understand by understanding that Lord Krishna is everybody's friend will lead us to peace. It's a very deep thing to understand. When a mother puts an ointment in the eyes of her child, that in Hindi we call it kajal, I don't know what it's called in English. That black ointment is there which is put in the eyes. So that will help to increase the eyesight of the child. But the child doesn't like that. Similarly, the Lord puts a devotee in a particularly difficult circumstances just to bring him closer to him, which the devotee may not immediately understand. But we must. But if we have deep faith that Lord Krishna is everybody's friend, just like Lord Chaitanya was thinking, oh, how these people, these Muslims who are killing the cows, how they will be delivered? And then Haridas Thakur says, just by calling haram, haram, they will be delivered. So Lord Krishna, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not hating anybody. He is thinking about the well of everybody. So here, if we can accept in our life, whatever is happening in my life has been arranged by Lord because He's the Supreme Controller, and also for my own good, my ultimate good, because He's my Suhrid, then I will be peaceful. This is something easy to say but difficult to digest. You understand my point? We get the disease and say, oh, I've been a devotee so many years, how can I get this disease? Why my family is not cooperating with me? So many things, but it's for my ultimate good. This is something which all of us have to digest to deeper and deeper understanding. And that's what is mentioned by Lord Brahma. Tatte nu kampam su samikshamano munjana evatma kritam vipakam hridvag vapurbhir vidhan namaste jive tayo mukti pade sabdaya bhag. One devotee was telling very nicely that devotees are not freed from karma, but they become free from the influence of karma. They may suffer, but they are not affected by that misery. If they are miserable externally, they accept it as a mercy of Lord, and that very consciousness makes them qualified to go back to Godhead. It's very interesting, isn't it? They may be having so many difficulties, but just see how they are taking that situation and accepting it as a mercy of the Lord, that very consciousness will cause them to go back to Godhead. Very interesting. Normally people have this conception of prosperity theology. That means if I serve Lord, I should become materially prosperous. But that is not really the pure mercy of the Supreme Lord. The pure mercy of the Lord is when we become detached from sense gratification. Last point. Lord is a supreme controller, and unless He allows something to happen, nothing will happen. So deeply, when we endeavor for something as proper devotees, we do not or should not become attached to the fruits which will arise from that activity. Suppose we go for a preaching program. Do we have control how many people will turn up? Do we have control how many people will actually become devotees? No. So why worry about it? But do we have a control that we can do that activity for the pleasure of Lord? Yes. Very nicely one devotee was saying, His Grace Gaur Gopal Prabhu, he said, do you have a problem? If your answer is say yes. Do you have a solution? Yes. And why do you worry? Then he says, do you have a problem? I say, no. Then why do you worry? Then third he says, do you have a problem? He said, yes. Do you have a solution? He said, no. Then why do you worry? So this is a very important point. I am not the controller. Whenever I go for preaching, I always have this attitude. Whatever I will speak, not necessarily everybody will be inspired. But it's up to Krishna to inspire them. It is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's will that this movement should be spread. I am only going there to repeat the message. Now whether they are going to accept or not, that is up to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to induce them. And it is not my mental concoction. That's how Nityanand Prabhu and Haridas Thakur used to think. They were told by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to go and preach. And they say, we are going to preach. Now if they don't accept, that is between them and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And if they accept, that also is between them and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We are simply postmen. It's a very, very welcome relief. Whenever we go, I only pray, at least Krishna sends some sufficient people so the prasadam is finished. We should not bring the prasadam back. At least, and every time Krishna makes arrangement, the prasadam is finished. So that is nice. So that's my point, that we should become detached from what people will think about us, how much they will accept or not accept. That is beyond our control. what we should make sure is that we repeat the message of Acharyas so that we become purified. That much only. Is it something else? Yes, last point, this is very interesting. Very interesting. This universe has been very nicely designed to not cooperate with my desire to be the center of the universe. I'll repeat this point. This universe has been designed to not cooperate with my desire to be the center of the universe. And that's why always somebody and some situation will be there which I don't like. All throughout the day, you can analyze your day. Somebody will say something, somebody will sing Mangalarti in a different way, somebody will speak the class in a different way, which I don't like. And you see, because I'm the center of the universe, everything should be going according to my likeness. But every day something will happen which is not exactly according to your likeness. And if we understand this, then we say, oh yeah, that is good because I'm not the center of the universe. One devotee told that Radhe Shyam Prabhu from Pune says that Krishna will always put one devotee in the ashram which will give trouble to the leader of the ashram or the temple president or anywhere, everywhere. Everywhere. Now, practical example is Lord Ram. Everybody liked him. That washerman gave a bad comment. So we can't assume, or even Lord Krishna, he was accused of stealing Shyamantaka jewel. Everybody liked Lord Krishna, but what is his name? Satrajit. He accused Lord Krishna of stealing Shyamantaka jewel. So anyhow, he is the center of the universe, but I am saying we are not the center of the universe. And if those things don't go according to your way and plan, don't be surprised. It has been planned by the Lord, planned by the material energy to frustrate us. So just think about it. If I know that after 2 minutes, one devotee is going to come and say ill names to me, will I become angry? See, we become angry when we don't know how that person is reacting to me. But if I know he's going to come and shout at me, I can plan my consciousness. I know he's going to become angry and I'm not going to become angry. So this makes us thoughtful. So many people will not react or behave the way I want them to behave. I am a very insignificant person, so why should I feel so much disturbed about it? This is not easy, but at least we become thoughtful. We can at least become thoughtful and not express, oh, I don't like this, why this is happening like this. We become more frustrated, not, I would say, less peaceful. But if we understand things are happening by the arrangement of the Lord, then we just tolerate and go ahead. Just like few days back, let's say 1 month back, the weather was very bad. So many devotees were saying, I hate this weather. So every time you say, I hate this, you become more miserable. His Holiness Radha Goj Maharaj was mentioning this point. Even if you feel the heat, don't say that it is hot. If you feel cold, don't say it is cold. Begin from that. You are experiencing cold. But if you are saying, oh, this is hot, this, you become more miserable. You still experience heat and cold. Try to absorb our consciousness in Krishna. And that will be a great relief and become peaceful. 10 minutes are left. Any questions are there, we can take up. Otherwise, we'll end the class. Any questions? Yes, Prabhu. Mike.
Yeah. They don't want to chant Hare Krishna, they don't like to chant Hare Krishna. Because everybody doesn't want to follow what you are doing or what I am doing.
Okay.
They want to do everything on their own.
Yes.
Whimsically they want to do it. And they think that even if I am uttering the name of other Lord and I will go back to God. They feel like that. So how can we say that the whole world can go back home?
We don't say that.
No, we don't say, but how can we desire that all of the devotees, many of the people, they should become devotees and they should chant Hare Krishna?
Well, desiring is not a problem. You can always desire. You can always desire everybody should become devotee. So what is the problem?
Yes, we are desiring everyone to become devotee. No, many don't want to be there. Even you see your family life.
Very interesting. See.
Family life also.
Yes. We may desire everybody to become a devotee. But we must understand simply by my endeavor, everybody will not become a devotee. And that's a point where we have to become detached. I desire that this person should become a devotee whom I am preaching to, but I also know from within my own heart that simply by my words he will not become a devotee. If you see in the fourth canto, Lord Shiva prays to Krishna that, my Lord, you please induce people to become your devotees. Even he, as a Mahabhagavata, he is never thinking, I can make devotees. As you remember how Srila Prabhupada has said that, prayed, please give strength to my words so that I can give, or I can cause the message of Bhagavatam to penetrate in their hearts, which are completely contaminated by modes of passion and ignorance. So that should be our prayer. Our desire and prayer should be that, my Lord, give me the strength so that I can inspire people to chant Hare Krishna. You understand? I don't have that strength. I am praying for the strength from the Lord. That should be our mood. And if Krishna wants, he can empower us. And even if we are not able to inspire anybody, simply by our desiring that they should become devotees, that's very good enough. That's very good. That's very good on our own part. Now, if they become devotees or not become devotees, that's between Krishna and them, as I mentioned earlier. It's between them and Krishna. We give them the knowledge, we give them prasadam. When they're going to become devotees, that is not in our control. We don't become frustrated over that. That's my point.
Similar way, Prabhupada and his family also, he wanted them to become devotees. He asked his son, can you distribute the books?
Yes.
Do this one. But then it went on falling. Although he was a pure devotee, he made so many devotees, but he could not make his family devotees.
Very interesting point do not try to create interest. Try to catch interested people. In trying to create interest in one person who is not interested, we may lose out and not give time to those people who are very much eager for Krishna consciousness. So in our preaching, that's what I have learned, that's how I preach, is people are not interested, I don't speak. Like after a preaching program, one person came, he is from Brahma Kumaris, and he told to me, wherever you are, I have already reached. I said, how do you know where I am? I may be in a very low position. Then are you in the low position? So when I see so much arrogance, I said, I cannot preach to you. So first thing in our preaching is, we say, do you accept Bhagavad Gita? And we try to convince him to accept Bhagavad Gita. Once he accepts Bhagavad Gita, at least theoretically, then it becomes very easy. Then you can say, show so many slokas, and you will have to accept, understand. That's a very easy way of preaching. And if not, that is also not possible, give them prasadam. I have so much experience of people getting transformed by prasadam. So that's not a problem. But best thing is, as you're saying, you're desiring that people become devotees, that's very nice. That is very good consciousness. Everybody should become a devotee. Everybody should chant Hare Krishna. At least our consciousness is very good in that regard. Okay? Any other questions?
Sometimes we meet different type of people, just like Muslims, Christians and other ones. So they come near, and sometimes we tell them, okay, you have faith in your Allah, so you chant the name of Allah.
Yes.
If you tell them like that, they are very much sensitive. But if you tell them Hare Krishna, they get angry. So if
it's okay,
you chant in the name of Allah, you chant
yes,
in the name
yes,
of Christ,
yes.
Then they are happy and they think, oh, this person is not converting us.
Yes. The thing is, even if you can't preach to Muslims or Christians, you can preach to Hindus. They are also very much misguided by worshiping demigods and this and that. Instead of trying to think what I can't do, let's try to focus what can I do. You know, if a person is very empowered, he can preach to everybody. Prabhupada preached to all Christians, so to speak. Nobody was a Hindu because he was so pure and convinced. If I am not that pure and convinced, I can at least preach to Hindus. I am not saying it's an international society for Hindus. But I am saying if a person is not favorable to you, not having a sense of respect to you, then you just, okay, no problem. You chant Allah's name or chant Christ's name, no problem. If he's eager to accept, then it's okay. Otherwise, not eager to accept, then leave it. Okay. Otherwise, very simple, you give him a book of Srila Prabhupada. They can fight with us, but they will not fight with the book. And they will become transformed. Prabhupada can transform it. Have any question? Yes.
Hare Krishna. You said that God can save you from death.
Yes.
How can he save
you? Oh, it's very simple. By his instructions, Janma karma cha me divyam evam yuveti tatvata tyaktva deham punar janma neti mameti. So Arjuna, a person who understands Krishna's activities are transcendental, after leaving the body he will not take birth. Very simple, he gives so many instructions. Then he says, if you remember me, you'll come back to me, and then simple. Yes.
He will
He will save you from future material deaths.
That's all right.
Yeah.
We are in the material world. So when you say God can save you from death, means from material death.
That's what you understood. That's not what I meant. That's Lord Krishna says, Jatasya hi dhruvam mrityu, dhruvam janam mrityasya cha. So he never says that we are never going to leave, not going to leave this body. Already we have left the body so many times. So that is not the promise of God. He says, taktva deham. After leaving the body, we will not. That's a big thing, isn't it? See, if we don't become devotees, anyhow we are going to die, and again die, and again die, and again die. So only one time dying, and then leaving the body. I have asked this question to one of our brahmacharis. His grandmother was a devotee. And somehow that she had a photo of Srila Prabhupada, and asked him, how should she leave the body? Very peacefully. So I have seen so many. My mother's grandfather was a devotee. He said, okay, please put cow dung and I am leaving the body. And he was a devotee of Krishna. So they were not even the trained proper devotees of ISKCON. And they left the body very peacefully. So what to talk of devotees are doing that. So that gives me a lot of faith how people are living very peacefully. Our Gaur Krishna Maharaj also had a smile, he just left. And you know that devotee who in Russia, who was in jail, he had Padmasan, so that soldier broke his backbone in the jail. And they saw him leaving the body in a Padmasan, it's mentioned in salted bread. And with a smile he left his body, like a yogi. And he was like a normal ISKCON devotee, not even you can say exalted some person. So Krishna takes care of the devotees. That is natural. That will happen. We are wait. Actually, devotee waits for it, isn't it? If he is perfect, he will go back to God, Krishna. Yes. Okay. Any other questions? Okay. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.